But imagine, okay, you're driving down the road. You've gotten off a hard day's work and you're headed home. You can't wait to cover yourself up in your warm and cozy bed. You can't wait to sit on your easy boy and to watch a little television. But on your way home, you're driving there. You have to pass through the seedier side of town. And the sun is going down and you get stopped by a red light. There you are, impatient, tapping your fingers, listening to music, waiting to be home. And you hear a... And then you hear it again. And it startles you because there is a woman tapping on your windshield. And she's obviously not like you in some ways. She's dressed immodestly. She's one of those bad people, unlike yourself. She's tapping on your window. Has that happened to you before? Yeah. What were you doing over there? Right? She's tapping on your window. And you can tell you can't hear her because her voice is being muffled by the window. But you can tell she's basically saying something like, is there anything that I can help you with? And just before the red light turns to green, just before you put your foot on the pedal to leave, to get out of that situation, you hear a voice. It's not her voice. It's not the radio. And no one else is in the car with you. It's just a voice. And the voice says, she's the one. Yeah. Now, don't get me wrong. I don't think this is going to happen to anyone. But it did happen a long time ago. Amen. She's the one. What do you mean? She's the one. You know what I mean, Hosea. She's the one. I want you to take her to yourself as a wife. Not take for yourself a prostitute. No, take to yourself a wife who happens to be a prostitute. I want you to endure with her with great patience. I want you to transform her. I want you to heal her. I want all that you are to be all for her, relationally, economically, physically, sexually, spiritually. You are to covenant with her. That's what I mean. She's the one. And so you, as a good prophet, as a good preacher, you roll down the window and you ask her to marry you. It sounds absurd, right? It sounds absolutely absurd. But look, if you would, at the text that Pastor Michael just read, Hosea chapter 1, verse 2. When the Lord, that is Yahweh, first spoke through Hosea, the Lord said to Hosea, go. Take to yourself a wife of whoredom and have children of whoredom. What that means is that you are going to not just have a prostitute. Anyone could do that. This is you're going to commit covenantally with a woman who happens to be a prostitute. And then you're going to raise her children, some of which may or may not be yours. In fact, we know for sure that one of them was not his because he named it not mine. Right. For the land commits great whoredom by forsaking the Lord. Now you see that the call is projecting us to another great fact. That the land, that the people of God are rejecting the Lord themselves. So he went and took, what's her name? Gomer. Now this is very interesting. God does not say go and take to yourself a prostitute, just any old prostitute. No, he has hand selected her. You might even say that he has elected her. He has pointed her out among a crowd and said, she's the one. And so he took the one, Gomer. Gomer. Amen. Here she is. But now, put yourself in his shoes again. You've asked her to marry you. You've gone through with it. You said before the congregation, you said before God, I do. You've made a covenant with God. I do. I will marry her. I do. And you said to her, in sickness or in health, for better or for worse, for richer or poorer, until death do us part. You said that to her. You made vows with her. You covenanted with her and with God in front of your entire church. And then that night in the hotel, the honeymoon suite, the marriage was consummated. And you laid down in bed thinking maybe God can work something good out of this. But in the morning, 2 a.m., the usual time that she would wake up and go to work, she wakes up and she goes back to work. You know, she's married now. She does not have to put on the red light. She does not have to do that. Those days are over. Amen. But here she is once again, 2 a.m., aroused, awakened, out into the streets, back to the where she came from. Now, what do we call that? We call that rejection. Rejection. Imagine how your heart would break in that moment. You put yourself all on the line. You made yourself vulnerable. You pursued a woman with a past, with roaming eyes and a wavered heart. And here she is betraying you and rejecting you. God says in the book of Hosea that the way that would make you feel is the way he feels when you sin against him. We are not merely breaking the rules of a king. We are breaking the heart of our husband. Amen? Amen. But then, as you lay there in bed, brokenhearted, rejected, she's gone back to the red light, you hear the voice again. And this time the voice says, go. Go again and love a woman who has been loved by another man. Now, you think the first call, she was the one. You think that was absurd. Now, this is another call that says, now that she has rejected you, I want you to go after her again and again and again and again. Why would God call Hosea to something like that? Look at it, if you would, in chapter 3 of Hosea. In chapter 3 of Hosea, verse 1, the story continues. And the Lord says to Hosea, go, what's the next word? Again. That is so pivotal. Go again, not just to take to yourself a wife of whoredom, but after she has left you, after she has rejected you and betrayed you, go again. Love a woman who was loved by another man and is an adulteress. Why would he call her to this? Here it says, even as the Lord loves the children of Israel, our forefathers in the faith, our spiritual forefathers, the people of God, just as he has loved us again and again. And again, even when we daily betray him, even when we daily reject him, we don't have to put on the red light anymore, yet we do. Can you say amen to that? We learn from this tough call that real love goes and goes again. Real love goes, is rejected, and goes again. Amen? And let me ask you this, just as a hint before we get into this message even deeper. Who was it that came after his bride, was rejected, and yet will come again? Jesus Christ. Hosea points us to the greater groom. Amen? The story of Hosea, the love story of Hosea and his wife Gomer, point us to the ultimate love story between God and us. Amen. Let's turn over to Hosea 11, if you're not already there. Hosea chapter 11. And just put your finger there as we talk about this a little bit. Hosea chapter 11. God feels rejected by us sometimes. Remember when you were, well, some of you are in the process right now, but remember when your child was between the crawling and the walking stage, right? I did nursery last week, and there was about 11 of them, I think, between the crawling and walking stage in one room. It was exciting. I had a lot of fun, though. It was exciting, though. Remember when they were in that stage, that in between the crawling and the walking stage? Well, you want to hold them, right? You want to cuddle with them. And, of course, they're always holding on to your pants because they want to be held, too. But if you hold them all the time, what's going to happen? They're never going to learn how to walk. They've got to learn how to walk at some point. So what you do, you kind of meet them halfway. You hold their little hands. And you know how they walk at first. They walk like chimpanzees, right? Chimpanzee and duck, right? And so you're holding them by their little hands, and you're teaching them how to walk. Oh, it's so sweet, right? You remember? Who can remember those days? You remember that? Every parent remember. You might be in those days right now. But listen, some of you might be able to remember these days. When that little kid grows up and becomes a teenager, what happens? They forget. You remember it, but they don't remember it. And they slam that door in your face. They reject you. And you wonder, how is it that you can't trust me? I've been here all along.
I was the one who held your hands. I was the one that taught you how to walk. I taught you how to ride a bicycle. I taught you how to break in a baseball mitt. How can you not trust me? How can you think that my motives are against you? How can you not know that I am on your side, that I am here, and that I will always be here? How can you not know a child who has dealt with that in a teenager? You see, because it is natural as a human to be taught how to walk and then to grow old and just to forget about it. If you can identify with that feeling of rejection as a parent, you can identify with God. You see, God can identify with us because he sent his son to suffer. And so he can identify with our suffering. But can you identify with his suffering? To break his rules is not only to break the rules of a king, but it is to break the heart of a husband. And it is to break the heart of a father who taught you how to walk. Look, if you would, at chapter 11. Verse 3, he says, when Israel was a child, I brought them up out of Egypt, yet they turned to the Baals. Verse 3, yet it was I who taught Ephraim to walk. Ephraim is another name for Israel. It was I that taught them how to walk. I took them by their little arms, but they did not know that I healed them. They didn't know that it was me that would let them down softly. They didn't know that it was me that when they would scrape their knee, I would tend their little bobos. They forgot my grace. And they forgot my love. What do we call this? What do we call it? Starts with an R. Say it. Rejection. Call it rejection. But notice the picture. You know, the world thinks of God. You know the Michelangelo picture? The painting? God has a big and strong and mighty hand. He has all the power. He has all the might. He's got all the cards. Yet his hand is limp towards us. It just kind of hangs there. He's like some sort of absentee father who's drifted off to his man cave to be self-indulgent. And there he is just kind of laying his hand limply. And we're the ones that have to reach forward to take hold of his hand. But is that the biblical picture at all? No, that is not the biblical picture. The biblical picture is of a father reaching out for his child, and his little baby child is shaking his fist at him. He has forgotten that hand that reached down and taught you to walk has forgotten all of those things. That's the biblical picture. And who is it, church, that who was the hand that reached down to us, raised us up and taught us how to walk? Who was that? That's Jesus Christ. Now, think about this way. Think about Israel. Remember Israel? They were in bondage in Egypt. They were enslaved to Pharaoh. They were like a pack mule with a heavy burden on their back. And they had tight bit in their mouth. And God came to them like the divine horse whisperer. And he stroked their nose. And he loosened up their bit. And he unhitched the wagon. And then what did he do? He led them out of Egypt. And he led them with a cord of love. He led them with the reins or the leash of a pet. He began to treat them like a pet and not like a pack mule. And he led them slowly through the wilderness. And not only that, he would bend down to them and he would feed them. What would he feed them? Manna. Yeah. Can you identify with a cowboy, a horse whisperer? Maybe some of you from Arnaville can. But you can identify with a cowboy who wants to break in a horse. He's seen the horse, the scars from years of abuse, the swayed back and the protruding ribs. And all he wants to do is treat that horse like a pet. And the horse rears and bucks and kicks. What do we call that? We call that rejection. We call it rejection. If you can identify with that just a little bit, you know how God feels when we sin against him. Look at Hosea chapter 11 again. Look at verse 4. I led them with cords of kindness, with the bands of love. That's the leash of a pet. And I became to them as one who eases the yoke on their jaws. And I bent down to them and fed them. Church, has Jesus Christ, has God done that for us? Has he led us out of Egypt, out of bondage to sin and slavery to Satan? Has he led us? Has he led us through the wilderness of life with a cord of kindness? What is the cord that stretches from God to us? It is Jesus Christ. In fact, literally, this says human cord. The human cord. And nobody has an idea what Hosea means by that. But some people think he's pointing to Moses, which points to
Christ. He led us through the wilderness of this life with human cords, with Jesus Christ with a tender hand. And he reached down and he bent down to us, a slave animal, a pack mule. He's treating us like a pet and he bends down to feed us what? The bread of life. And yet we forget about it so much. We forget about the way he has dealt with us. We reject him. We return to the red light over and over again. Let's talk about rejection a little bit. I'm going to come stand on this side because this is where a lot of our single people are. I don't know, I'm going to encourage y'all today, not to embarrass you, to mingle amongst the married people. You need to get to know them. Amen? They need some good examples. But let me stand on the single side and talk about rejection. What does it mean to be rejected? We talked about it. The way Hosea and Gomer, the cowboy and the horse, the father and the baby, that's rejection. You know what rejection is? It's when you try to love someone and they don't love you back. Yeah, it's heartbreak. When your love is not reciprocated, when they will not return the love that you've sacrificed for them. You've done everything for them, but they will not return that love. That's rejection. And you know what's amazing? God feels that. Hosea chapter 11 is one of the most beautiful chapters in the whole Bible because it tells us, listen, it tells us what God is like on the inside. And there's not many chapters in the Bible that tell us a little bit about what God is like on the inside. He's trying to communicate to you that he too gets his heart broken by you and me. He feels, and it's so amazing that the God of this universe, who is absolutely independent, totally happy, all by himself with the Trinity, has attached his insides to us in a way that when we run away from him, he hurts. He groans. Do you understand the mystery of that and the beauty of it? God feels heartbreak too. And he's trying to tell us that this morning. We learned about real love. We're learning about real sin. Real sin. But how will he respond? How will God respond? Look at Hosea chapter 11. I'm going to do a little Bible study with you. This is maybe a little complicated, but I think you'll get it. How does God respond? How does Hosea respond to the rejection? He goes, and then what does he do? Then he goes again. Right? He goes, he is rejected, then he goes again after his bride. How does God respond? Look at Hosea chapter 11, verse 1. When Israel was a child, I loved him. And out of Egypt I called my son. The more they were called, the more they went away. They rejected him. They kept sacrificing to the Baals. They kept returning to the red light. And they kept burning offerings to idols. How will God respond? Look at verse 8, if you would. This is amazing. God says, how can I give you up, O Ephraim? How can I hand you over, O Israel? You know that feeling you had for that little baby that walked like a chimpanzee? And you held his little hands? He's a teenager now. And he slams the door in your faces. And he shakes his fist at you. What do you say to that little child? How can I give you up? A father, a mother cannot give up their teenager. Even when everyone else thinks that teenager is a despicable human being, the mother and the father, how can I give you up? And that's how God feels toward his children. Amen? How can I give you up, O Israel? How can I give you up, Ephraim? The way a cowboy feels for that wounded horse that he has taken in as a pet. He saw the animal on the roadside, abused by his previous masters. He's led it out of the gate. He's loosened up its bands, and yet it kicks and it butts against him. And he says to that horse, I'm never going to give up. I'm never going to give up breaking you in. How can I? I've been here all along. He said that from the very beginning to Adam and Eve. He told Adam and Eve, if you eat of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall surely die. You see, he had a covenant with Adam and Eve. And it wasn't until death do us part. It was, if you depart, you will die. And when they sinned, when they took of the fruit, did God kill them? No. He said, how can I give you up, Adam and Eve? How can I give you up after I created you in my own hands? Your rejection is hurting me on the inside. I'm torn between justice and mercy. But how can I give you up, Adam and Eve? He says, how can I give you up, Brandon? I was the one who was always there. I was the one who taught you how to walk. I was the one who taught you how to throw a baseball. I was the one that put that Bible in the lobby of the gym that you wept over. I was always there, Brandon. How can you leave me? How can I give you up? He says that to us from his heart. Don't you know God has one? And we break it every day. How can I give you up, church? You've wounded me. God says to us, you hurt me. Everyone's been hurt by a church. We've all been wounded by a church. We go, we get rejected, and then we stop going. But God was wounded by a church, and he goes, and he goes, and he goes, and he goes again. In his time of deepest trial, he asked them just to attend a prayer meeting, and they could not. They slept through it. In his time of persecution, he needed a friend. He needed a companion, and they all abandoned him. His whole church abandoned him. They all fled for their lives. They denied him. They betrayed him with kisses. And yet he goes again and again and again and again. Real love fights through the rejection and pursues its bride. Amen. Amen. How can he do this? How can he? Because he's not just a husband. He is also a judge. How can he just continue to pursue us every day at the red light, as we pursue the gods of success and ambition and we love money? How can he keep coming after us at that red light every night and bringing us back to his home and healing us? How can he do that? Here's how. Hosea chapter 11, verse 1. When Israel was a child, I loved him. And out of Egypt, I called my son. The more they were called, the more they rebelled. If you would, Bible study, turn over to the book of Matthew. And look at chapter 2. Jesus Christ came to this earth. Matthew wrote about it. He tells us the story in the book of Matthew. And if you can't find it quickly, don't fret, because I'm going to read it for you. Matthew chapter 2, verse 15. The first book in the New Testament. Notice what it says. And he, that is Joseph, Jesus' stepfather, human father. And Joseph rose and took the child, that's Jesus, and his mother by night and departed to Egypt. And remained there until the death of Herod. Herod was the great tyrant, the great king, the oppressor, the one who was trying to kill Jesus. This was to fulfill what the Lord has spoken by the prophet. Out of Egypt, I called my son. What prophet is he referring to? Hosea. It's very interesting that the prophecy that points to Israel being freed from Egypt and rebelling, and the prophecy that speaks to us about God's insides, about how he saved us from the clutches of a greater king than Pharaoh, Satan. And yet we rebel day after day after day, is the same prophecy that Hosea says is fulfilled in Jesus Christ. How is that? This is how. Because Jesus Christ was also saved from the clutches of an evil king, Herod, and Satan. And did he return to the Baals? Did he? No. Did he get up in the middle of the night at 2 a.m. and go back to his block? Did he do that? No. Is he the one who rebels and rejects and rejects? No, he never rejected God. God loved him and God was pleased by him, and he never once played the harlot. He never once rejected. But Isaiah 53 verse 3 says he was despised and rejected himself. When he was on the cross, he said, my God, why have thou forsaken me? Why have thou rejected me? Did he do anything to deserve the rejection? No. But when he cried out to God, God did not say, how can I give you up, Jesus? No, God was silent. He rejected his own son. So that when you reject him, he can keep going and going and going after you. That's how the judge can also be a husband. It's beautiful. Amen. Amen. So how do we respond to this? John 13, verse 34, Jesus said, "A new commandment I give to you." He's speaking to you. He's speaking to his church. The ones that would abandon him, who would deny him and betray him with a kiss. That's who he's speaking to. He says, in light of what I'm going to do for you, I give you a new commandment. That you would love one another. If I could paraphrase, I'd say with real love. That you would love one another just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. How does Jesus love us? Again and again and again and again. And he fights through the rejection. He fights through the betrayal, through the offense, over and over and over again. He says, love one another like I love you. And I love you every day, though you step on my toes and though you offend me and reject me and will not reciprocate my love. I am coming after you. Love others with real love. Amen. That's our response to each other. But what's our response to God? I'll tell it to you like this. Remember how he taught us to walk when we walked like chimpanzees? Remember when he... It's a metaphor, obviously. Remember how he held our hands and he taught us how to walk? You know, that reminds me of something with my own children. I don't have to teach them how to walk anymore, but I do have to teach them how to walk safely, right? How to walk safely. And so what I do, I hold out my finger, partly because that's what my dad did for me, but I like to hold out my finger. I think there's a good reason for it, because I want them to hold my hand with a little reciprocity. Let me explain that. I want to reach out to them, teach them how to walk safely, but I also want them to do so of their own volition. I want them to choose to do so. I want them to decide to hold my hand. Right? I want them to respond to my goodness with holding on to my hand. And so I just hold out my finger like that. You know, some of you today, God says to you, listen, I held out my hand to you 2,000 years ago, and I'm still holding it out, and you have yet to take hold. My friend, if that's you, he will not hold out his hand forever. He does go and go again and go again and go again, but only for his bride. If you are not his bride, you had better take hold and receive the ring and say, yes, I do as well. You must respond in faith. Take hold of his hand. God says that to you today. But you know, sometimes when I'm walking with my kids, like in Cracker Barrel, for example, it's the worst. Because they have toys and gadgets and all sorts of nifty things, and they go from the ceiling all the way to the floor. And the problem with that is that kids can reach the floor. And so I know as a parent that to enter Cracker Barrel is to go into a minefield of temptation. And so as they hold my finger, I feel their grip loosening a little. And as their father, I say, and they know what that means. That means return to me. Hold tight. You know, God says to some of you, you're being pulled by the world. The thorns of this world are coming in and choking you. You're being pulled by the bales of this world, success, ambition, the praises of men. You're being pulled by these things. And God's saying this morning, he's saying, I remember when I used to teach you how to walk. Remember that? You better hold tight. You better know I'm on your side. Hold tight. But now, then there's other instances where I don't want to test them because they're not ready for the test yet. Like a parking lot, you know? Like a parking lot when there's cars, or like a crowd when there's people who can bump into them and trample them and they could get lost. You know, in those times, I don't test them. I actually take my hand like this and I put it over the top of their hand like this. So that even if they do loosen their grip and even if they do let go, they're going nowhere. How could I let them go? They're my children. You see, because they're walking with me does not ultimately depend on how tight their grip is, but because I'm their father. You get that? But I want them to hold on. I do. I want them to hold on. And some of you, he says to you today, you might be walking through a temptation and a trial and you feel like I can't hold on. He says to you today, I would never tempt you over and above what you could handle. Amen. I have got you. How could I let you go, Ephraim? How could I let you go, O Israel? How could I treat you like those cities of the plains next to Sodom and Gomorrah? I couldn't do that to you. I will hold on to you. Some of you, he says that to you this morning. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Father God, Heavenly Husband, lover of our souls, you birthed us, you taught us how to walk, and yet we are forgetting. We forget the grace that you have given us. We forget the gospel of Jesus Christ. May we be reminded this morning. May we hold tight, resist the temptations of this world, return to you, repent. And Lord, I pray for anyone here who is rejecting. May they know that all those who reject Jesus Christ, all those who reject the truth, will one day be ultimately rejected. But may they know today you offer them your hand in marriage. Today you offer them your hand as a father, as a horse whisperer. Your load is easy. Your burden is light. I ask that your Holy Spirit will work in our hearts this morning. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Let's stand and sing a closing song.